Now, finally, under the slowly spinning inferno and looking up into a glaringly formless void, journey's end. Chas Pask had to turn down his optical sensor's receptivity. The light was so bright. At first he had thought some kind of miniature sun lurked up there at the centre of the flaming vortex of cloud, but now the boat had carried him faithfully under the baleful cone, he could see the apex had burst open like a malignant tumour. The rent was growing larger. The cyclone was growing larger, deeper and wider. He knew its purpose at last. That knowledge was inescapable where he was, pressed down in the bottom of the flat boat under the sheer pressure of the light. It was a mouth, jaws opening wide. One day, soon, it would devour the whole world. He gave a wild little giggle at the notion. That heavy, heavy light was migrating from whatever, wherever, lay on the other side. Weighty extrinsic photons sinking slowly downwards like snow to smother the land and river in their own special frost. Whatever they touched gleamed as though lit from within. Even his body, shoddy, worthless thing it was now, had acquired a dignified lustre. Above the gashed cloud was a sheer plane of white light, a mathematical absolute. The ocean into which his white silk dream river emptied, a universal ocean into which Lalonde was destined to fall like a pearl droplet and lose itself forevermore. He felt himself wanting to rise up towards it, to defy gravity and soar, into the perpetual light and warmth which would cleanse him and banish sorrow. It would ripple once as he penetrated the meniscus, throwing out a polished wave crown, a single ephemeral spire rising at the centre. After that there would be no trace. To pass through was to transcend. His remoulded face was incapable of smiling. So he lay there gladly on the boat, mind virtually divorced from his body, looking up at his future, awaiting his moment of ascension, his physical purpose long since abandoned. Even though the red cloud's thunder had retreated to a muffled rumbling, he never heard the starting gun being fired, so the first cannonball shattered his serenity with shocking abruptness. They had known he was there, the possessed. They had been aware of him all along. From the moment he passed under the aegis of the red cloud, he had registered in their consciousness, as an orbiting gnat might impinge upon a man's peripheral vision. His hapless journey down the river was of no consequence to them. In his miserable, degenerative state he was simply not worth their attention nor a moment's effort. The river was bringing him surely to their bosom. They were content to let him come in his own time. Now he was here, and they had assembled down by the docks to provide a maliciously frolicsome reception. It was a black-hearted jamboree, suitable to celebrate the last possession before Lalonde escaped the universe for good. The iron ball whistled low over Chaz's boat with a backlash, crack, that set the insecure craft rocking, then splattered into the snow-lily mush 30 meters away. Purple smoke and 10-meter magnesium flames squirted joyously into the air like a jumbo Roman candle. Chaz shunted round on his elbows, looking in disbelief at the chromatic blaze. The snow lilies started to melt away around his boat, lowering it into sparkling clear blue water. Whoops and catcalls wafted over the river from the shore. He twisted round. Durringham, with all of its white towers and onion-domed spires and lofty castles and lush hanging gardens, formed a magnificent backdrop to the armada racing to collect him. There were Polynesian war canoes with flower-garlanded warriors digging their paddles into the clear water, rowing eights with lean young men sweating under the cox's bellowed orders. Triremes, their massed oars flashing in immaculate unison. Viking marauders sporting resplendent scarlet and gold sun-god sails. Dhows, whose lateens strained ahead of the fresh breeze, junks, sampans, ketches, sloops, and riding fast and proud, out in front, was a big three-masted buccaneer, its crew in striped shirts scrambling over the rigging. A quarter of the city's population crowded the circular harbours, now ancient solid stone, cheering on their chosen team in a boisterous, rollicking carnival atmosphere.